are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, New York Giant fans, to another edition of Locked On Giants. Here with Patricia Traina. I am your host. And today we are bringing back Twitter Tuesday. It's been a couple weeks. We took a break since the end of the season so that we could get through the reviews of the different Giant positions. And Chris Bisiano of the Giant Insider was kind enough to help me with all that stuff, which I really appreciate. Now, we do have one more position that we need to review, and that being cornerbacks. And that will be on tap for tomorrow's show. Those of you who are just tuning in for the first time this week, yesterday we had Rick Saratella from NFL Draft Bible. He gave us a little overview of the his observations from the East-West Shrine Game that was this weekend. You know, so as we turn our attention to the NFL Draft, which is coming up in April, I'm trying to get you guys as many guests as possible who do the draft stuff year-round, at least until I can get up to speed on that. But anyway, again, today is a Twitter Tuesday, so we've got a lot of questions, some via email, some via Twitter, and what do you say we just jump right into them? Okay, so this first one is from Clarence Reyes, who emails and wants to know, if you were Pat Shermer, would you consider using Odell Beckham Jr. as in a super utility role similar to Taysom Hill in addition to his role as wide receiver? No, I don't think so, Clarence. I know the temptation is to get the most out of Odell Beckham Jr., but, you know, what I would like to see Pat Shermer do more of next year with Odell is have him run deep again. I just thought, you know, this year they turned Odell into more of a possession receiver, a guy who's going to catch the ball on those slants and those shorter routes. And I just didn't think that was a good fit. And his yardage and production suffered just a little bit. But, you know, as far as moving forward, I'd just like to see them get back to doing what Odell can do best, which is, you know, running down the field and taking a ball and just, you know, going to daylight. And of course, you know, in order for that to happen, they have to have, the protection so that the quarterback can get the ball to him. But that would be my hope for Odell next year. I don't want to see him doing punt returns or kickoff returns or any of that fancy stuff. No thanks. Okay. This next question is from Kevin Page, who actually had a couple of questions. Wants to know if this first question a lot of people have asked me about. Wants to know about Dave DeGlugliamo. I hope I said that right. I called him Glugs when he was here, but he's the former Colts offensive line coach. And should the Giants be interested in him? And that's the first question. So the answer is, I would certainly, you know, take a look and see what he had to say. But, you know, as is the case with coaches, sometimes, you know, you just have to move on, and you have to make sure that their coaching style and what they teach is kind of what you want as far as, you know, the scheme that your offense calls for and the techniques and all that good stuff. But would I kick the tires on Glugs? Absolutely. And I know someone else on Twitter asked me about Pat Flaherty, who was let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pat's a great coach, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Glugs coached under Pat Flaherty early on in his career. So, yeah, I would see what each of those guys, you know, I'd have a conversation with them and see if, you know, you can upgrade. Because, heck, if you're going to upgrade the roster, I think the same thing has to be said of the coaching staff. Okay, Kevin also wants to know about Olivier Vernon. If they cut Vernon, he's not going to get a contract anywhere close to what he's being paid. So what is his actual value on the free agent market? And would it make sense for both parties to reduce his salary to what he could get, thereby saving cap money and keeping a solid player at the position of need? I would say to that, you normally you would be correct on that. But here's the thing. The draft class is loaded with defensive pass rushers. And if you can get a kid to come in for a lot less than what you would have to pay Vernon, I think that is how they are going to go. I really believe that is what's going to happen. Now, with that said, would I like to see Vernon back at a reduced rate? Absolutely. I agree with you that, you know, he's a good pass rusher, but he is not worth the money he's getting. What he is getting is what you would pay to a Khalil Mack or a Von Miller. And, you know, I think the Giants are going to do, I think they're going to add a couple of young pass rushers to that mix, but I also think they're going to need a veteran. Now, whether or not they try and get a veteran on the back end of free agency for the minimum, that's certainly a possibility. But I just, you know, look, I would like to see Olivier Vernon back. I would like to see what happens if he can get through the season healthy. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I would be surprised if he does. And, you know, hopefully he does, because, you know, he's a good guy, hard worker, doesn't create any problems in the locker room or anything like that. But I'm just not so confident that he's going to be back next year, whether it be on a reduced salary or otherwise. So, but we'll see. All right, John Gerstein, does it make sense to try and sign Grant Haley to an extension now? Correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think he becomes a free agent for another year. But no, you don't have to sign into an extension now. You know, you're going to have him as an exclusive rights free agent for the next couple of years. You know, he's flashed a little bit, but he hasn't really, I think, shown enough to warrant, you know, giving him a long-term extension with a signing bonus and all the frills that you normally find in those veteran contracts. So I would say just cool your jets on that and just see how this kid comes through, you know, his second year, what kind of leap he makes in that second year. Okay, next question comes from, this is another one from Kevin Page. Let's assume the following. Eli Jalapio and Jamon Brown are back. They sign the best right tackle they can find in free agency. Does that constitute enough of an upgrade for an older non-mobile quarterback? That's a good question, Kevin. First of all, I got to correct you on something. Eli is not a complete statue. What he does not do and has never done is he's never been a rusher. You're not going to see him compete for the league lead in rushing yards amongst quarterbacks. That's just not who Eli is, never has been, never will be. But the Giants under Pat Shurmur, they've had Eli roll around in the pocket, I think, a lot more than I can recall him doing under Ben McAdoo. So to say that Eli is not mobile is just not an accurate statement. But getting back to your question, is that enough of an upgrade? I would say probably add in there another receiver, a guy who can, you know, also separate like Odell Beckham Jr. Because, you know, the Giants had that problem. The other receivers, they didn't separate on any regular basis. And one of the things I did, I did a breakdown for Inside Football. I also did a breakdown for Forbes on the receivers and the yards after the catch and just the separation that the receivers not named Odell Beckham Jr. were able to get is just not very good. So I would say add a third receiver in there. I would say maybe tweak the way you use Evan Ingram. Get him the ball, and not just, you know, when Odell is not on the field. Get this kid the ball. And, you know, hopefully that should be enough there. All right, next question comes from Izzy. Wants to know about Brett Jones. I just can't let go of my being stupefied at the Gettleman move of letting go of Brett Jones. Was a bright spot on the offensive line. No way a seventh rounder is going to be a better backup than Brett Jones. Help me understand the move. Okay. Izzy, the reason why the Giants traded Brett Jones was because, if you remember, they had tendered him at a second round level. So I believe his cap hit at the time was something like $3 million. And once he signed that tender, it was pretty much a guaranteed amount. So now he gets into a competition with John Jalapio. And John Jalapio turns out to be more along the lines of what Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula are looking for at center. So now you've got Jalapio, who I believe his base salary was the minimum. I want to say it was like $750,000, versus Brett Jones, a backup, who was making close to $3 million. All right? That is why Brett Jones was traded. you can't carry a backup who is making more than your starter. Now, again, you know, you're probably saying, well, why didn't they renegotiate? Because, again, Brad Jones was a restricted free agent, and they tendered him. He signed that deal, and it was, and that was his salary for 2018. So there was no renegotiation at that point on that contract. I agree with you that a seventh rounder, you know, for a backup, that's kind of, you know, that's tricky. But the good news is from what I understand, the draft class is very deep in centers and guards. So even if John Halapio, God forbid, can't make it back from his broken ankle, and, you know, fingers crossed that he does, I do think the Giants will dip into that offensive line pool and add at least a center guard candidate to fortify that offensive line. So, all right, so that answers that question. And all right, so that takes care of all our questions received via email. Let's take a quick break here from our sponsors, and we'll be back in segment two to tackle the Twitter questions. So stay with us. All right, welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and it is a Twitter Tuesday. This is our first Twitter Tuesday since the season wrapped up. And lots of great questions. Just finished doing all the questions received via email. And now it's time to get to the actual Twitter questions, from which Twitter Tuesday gets its name. So let's jump right in. And let's see. Keith G wants to know, with respect to Evan Engram, do you think the Giants should consider moving him to receiver? No, I don't think the Giants are going to do that, Keith. I get where you're going with this, because Engram is he's kind of like a receiver in a tight end's body, and, you know, his blocking is not, you know, like a Red Ellison or Scott Simonson, where, you know, Engram's going to be able to dominate or neutralize, you know, speed rushers or defensive ends. But again, what I would like to see with Engram is the coaching staff get him involved more when Odell is on the field. I just feel like last year, Shermer, you know, it was one or the other with Shermer, and there's got to be a way to balance it out and make both of them to where you can use both of them. What I'd also like to see them do with Engram is use him more as a red zone threat. I don't think he was used as much as I would have liked to have seen as a red zone threat. But as far as changing his position, no, I don't see that being in the cards. But again, I can kind of see where you would come up with that, but I don't think it's in the cards. Steven N. wants to know, with the third, fourth, and fifth round picks in this draft loaded with defensive players, do you see the Giants loading up on defense in these two rounds? I misread the question. My apologies. With three, fourth, and fifth round picks and this draft loaded, because the Giants don't have a third round pick. Okay. Sorry, folks. So, Steven, I do think the Giants are going to load up on defense in you know, the draft regardless. If I had to take a guess right now, if I had to do a mock draft without giving you specific names, because I'm not there yet, my guess is they'll do pass rusher with the first round pick, and they may do quarterback as soon as their second pick. So I think they'll probably, you know, fan out a little bit. They need a receiver. They need a free safety. They need to add some more depth on the offensive line, a tackle right now. If they don't get it in, you know, free agency, they need to get another linebacker, in my opinion. You know, another cornerback, you know, at the bottom of the depth chart would be good. So they really need help across the board. But, you know, my first priority, just based on how the team and the season played out, is I would get a pass rusher with the first round pick. I would look to get a quarterback maybe with the second or third round pick, probably the second. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were to trade back into the first round, the bottom of the first round, if they, you know, for a guy like, again, a Daniel Jones, you know, I could see that maybe being a possibility as of this, you know, recording. But yeah, defense, I would say, expect the Giants' final draft class to be very heavy on defense. with maybe a couple of offensive players sprinkled in there to round out the depth. Okay, Jake wants to know, any chance the Giants go after Antonio Brown? No, not happening. Too big of a cap hit. They've got Odell, who's got a big cap hit. They're not going to be able to afford Antonio Brown. I don't see Antonio Brown wanting to even do his, redo his contract, to be honest with you. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw someplace that Antonio Brown was linked with the 49ers. So, but no, I don't see the Giants going after him. Sorry. Jennifer B. wants to know, best or favorite offensive and defensive plays of the year? Oh, gosh, I haven't really thought of that, Jennifer. I'm going to say offensive plays. I liked the two touchdown passes that Odell threw. I thought those were pretty neat. Watching Saquon Barkley was tremendous anytime he got his hands on the ball. Defensively, I can't really say I have a favorite. I mean, I guess if you're talking about highlights, the interceptions by Alec Ogletree would probably be up there. But, you know, as far as a specific play or scenario, I don't really have one, if I'm being totally honest with you. But that is a pretty good question. And thank you for that interesting question. Something different. Victor P. asked this next question. And I think this was based on a college bowl game based on the timing of it from January 8th. He wants to know, can you see the Giants trading away a second and late round pick for 2021 first rounders? Tank for Trevor. Victor, too soon, really too soon to go down that route. I don't think the Giants got to build up now. Do I think they're going to add draft capital? Yes. Do I think they're going to, you know, try and move some of the draft capital they have now for next year? Possibly. But right now, you know, you got to fix the defense, man. I mean, I can't say this enough. The defense lacked playmakers. Put the tape on. You'll see what I'm talking about. So, look, maybe the Giants come away with their quarterback in this draft class, and you don't have to tank for Trevor. And by the way, I don't like that whole concept of tanking for a guy. Any team that tanks knowingly to improve its draft stock should be tossed out of the league, because it just defies the whole concept of being competitive. So I just don't understand why people would even think that or want to see that. But anyway, Adrian M. wants to know, agree, disagree, Giants draft priorities. Edge rusher, yes. Corner, kind of. I think they're pretty good with cornerback, but they can certainly use some additional depth. Inside linebacker, yeah. Actually, no. I'm going to say no on that one. I think they might be able to get by with what they have with Ogletree, B.J. Goodson, and Ty Davis, who was kind of intriguing. So I think they'll be okay there. Offensive line, center and right tackle for sure. Center, that all depends on how Jalapio is healing up. Would I like to see a younger guy in there? You know, somebody who can be in there for the next 10 years? Yeah, I would, but, you know, I don't know if I would necessarily put that as a high, you know, type of priority. But all right, free agent priorities. Safety, absolutely. Offensive line, cheap depth, you better believe it. And by the way, I would also include right tackle in that mix. Quarterback, Bridgewater or Trey, nope. I don't see the point. You're basically robbing Peter to pay Paul. You might as well stick with Eli Manning instead of bringing in a veteran who has to, you know, learn the system all over from scratch. And really, you're not going to end up saving that much. You're better off just redoing Eli's contract, extending it, and lowering his cap hit for 2019, like I've outlined in Forbes. Wish list, Haskins, Manning pay cut to clear room. I'm not ready just yet to say that Haskins is on my wish list. I haven't studied him. I know a lot of you guys have. I haven't sat down and looked at it yet. I'm working my way through various film. So I'm not I'm going to say probably no on Haskins, only because I think somebody is going to get him before the Giants go on the clock at sixth, and I don't see the Giants necessarily trading up to get Haskins. I also think, again, that if the Giants stay at the six, you know, number six overall, they're going to go defense, which means, you know, there's just no chance that Haskins will probably be there by the second round. I would be surprised of that. So I just don't see that happening. Manning pay cut to clear cap room. Yes, I've talked about that. I've outlined scenarios on Forbes. Absolutely, I'm on board with that. So thank you for that question. All right, this next question is from Joe, who asks, people want Eli, Beckham, Janoris Jenkins, and Olivier Vernon gone. What? Who replaces them? Ever want the Giants to win, etc.? Joe, that's a good question. You know, people who want to create holes don't necessarily come up with a solution to replace the guys that they're proposing the Giants dump. Now, let's take each guy separately here. Eli Manning, I just don't see them getting rid of him. I mean, unless Eli retires, Eli's going to be the quarterback in 2019. And, you know, I know some of you guys don't want to hear it, but that's how it's going to be. Regardless if they take another quarterback in the draft, you know, Eli's going to be the guy. At some point, they are going to ask Eli to be like a mentor to this next kid, whoever that might be. I don't see them swapping out for Nick Foles. I don't see them going after Teddy Bridgewater. I think in New Orleans, if the Saints end up going to the championship game, I'm sorry, to the Super Bowl, and P.S., I'm recording this before the NFC championship game. I think if the Saints go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, I could see Drew Brees retiring, at which point Teddy Bridgewater would be the heir. So that's what I see happening there. Beckham, I just don't know where the heck this trade talk comes from. I think it's kind of ludicrous, to be honest with you. They would take a $16 million cap hit if they were to trade Beckham. And right now, Beckham is the only receiver they have who can get open and separate with any kind of consistency. So why would you want to get rid of that guy? I just don't get it, guys. Jenkins, you know, that was a guy I went back and forth with. I thought for a while he might be a goner, but now I'm thinking more along the lines that he stays, because as you point out, you get rid of him, now you have really no tested cornerback, veteran shutdown cornerbacks, at that spot. So you figure next year, the likely starters are going to be Jenkins and Sam Beal. I think they will try to bring back B.W. Webb, who has earned himself a second contract. Grant Haley will be back, and I think they'll probably look to add another kid maybe on a day three of the draft. So the cornerback situation is really not that bad right now as I see it as of this recording. Vernon, I've said this before, you know, look, I'd love to see Vernon back. I don't think he will be, not on a $19+ million cap hit. You know, the reality is the guy has been injured the last couple of years. And usually when you've had an injury history, management will go to you and will kind of ask you to take a pay cut just because your production kind of, you know, takes a hit a little bit. I don't think, though, that the Giants are going to do that with Vernon because, as I've said before, the draft class is very rich with pass rushers. And I think if the Giants pick a kid at six overall, that kid's going to be an instant starter and they're going to just, you know, run with him. They're going to run with Lorenzo Carter. And I could see them conceivably adding like a cheap veteran on the back end of free agency, maybe a veteran minimum or, you know, a little above a veteran minimum to kind of round out that three-man rotation on the edge there. And don't forget Kareem Martin, I think, is going to be back as well. Not that he's, you know, a big edge rusher, but he does play on the edge, and I can see him being back as well. All right, folks, you're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Trinidad. It is a Twitter Tuesday, our first one in a couple weeks. Stay with us. We'll be back in segment three with more of your questions. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Twitter Tuesday. You're with Patricia Trina on the Locked On Giants podcast, your team every day. And we are continuing with your questions submitted via Twitter. So a few more. Let's see. Joe wants to know, he can understand the trades of JPP, salary dumped, same with Snacks, but could never figure out why the Giants traded Eli Apple. And can I explain why they traded Eli Apple? Joe, I just think that, Sam Beal is probably the reason why the Giants wanted to move on from Apple. And I say that because they drafted Sam Beal in the third round. He lost his rookie season, obviously, to the shoulder injury. But look, in thinking ahead, I think Dave Gettleman saw an opportunity to get a couple of draft picks for Eli Apple, who's still a young player, who's still, you know, a very serviceable player. And in moving him along, he got a couple of draft picks. And the idea, I think, is in 2019, we are going to see Janoris Jenkins and Sam Beal as the starter. So, you know, I just thought, you know, right away when they drafted Sam Beal, that the plan all along was to get him into the starting lineup. And, you know, they had to choose between Apple and Jenkins, and they decided to go with Jenkins, who I think, you know, got better as the season went on. I think Eli Apple kind of went in the opposite direction with his play, and, you know, the Giants benefit. They got a couple of draft picks, one coming up in 2019 and one in 2020. So, you know, you can't really complain, I guess, about that, I guess. So, okay, Adrian M. wants to know, rumors that Matthew Stafford is available. Did the Giants seek a trade, OV, for Stafford and a fifth-round pick? Nope, not happening. Don't see the Giants going for Matthew Stafford. High cap hit. Again, if you're going to you know, get a veteran or keep a veteran at quarterback, stick with Eli. He knows the system. Why do you want to start all over again? You know, and especially, you know, if you trade for Stafford and you take on that contract, you might as well forget about getting a young kid. It doesn't make sense. Sorry, guys. Doesn't make sense. Okay. Ramesh C. wants to know, what are the biggest needs on defense? Pass rusher. Say it with me loud now. Pass rusher. The Giants had no pass rush. They haven't had a solid three-man pass rush rotation since 2011. That's got to be priority number one. And priority number 1A is got to be free safety. Put a quality free safety alongside of Landon Collins, and I think you're going to see Landon Collins soar to new heights. All right, next question from Yanks fan Paul wants to know, what's considered a deeper draft position this year, defensive line or O-line? Who should the Giants focus on in the early round? Regarding your first question, defensive line, I think, is considered a deeper position. My understanding is the interior guys are, you're going to find a lot of good interior guys, but you're also going to find a lot of good, edge rushers. So defense, you know, I think takes the crown there. Offensive line, again, I believe center and guard are very deep. Tackle, not so much. So you can't really, I think, you know, just based on that fact, factor, you can't say that this is going to be a strong year for the offensive line. As far as who the Giants should focus on in the early round, again, I'm going to say it probably, you know, until I have information to the contrary, but I would go edge rusher with the first pick, and I would maybe look at quarterback or, you know, an interior offensive line, maybe a center with the second pick. So, that's how I kind of see it's, you know, playing out as of right now. All right, next question comes from, let's see, just scrolling up. Vin wants to know, if the Giants cut OV and replace him with a first pick in the draft, how much money would they save, and which free agents could they use that money to sign to fill a need? Vin, regarding the second part of your question, you know, they could use that money to sign multiple guys, I would think. So, you know, that it's not a straight, you know, swap this guy out for this guy. It doesn't quite work that way. Regarding Vernon's contract, I believe, let me just double check here. Vernon is due to count for, and I'm going to pull up the actual number here. He is due to count for $19.5 million against the cap in 2019. What I have said I think will happen, and again, I'm sticking with this, I think the Giants will cut him. I think they will also designate him as a post-June 1st transaction. Okay, so what does that mean? What that means is if he is a post-June 1st release, the Giants will save $15.5 million on the cap, get hit with a $4 million dead money hit in 2019, and a $4 million dead money hit in 2020. Whereas if they were to release Vernon before June 1st, he would count for $11.5 million savings with an $8 million dead cap hit. All right, so the advantage is you save more if you do a post-June 1st release. Now, what that means, though, is they can release Vernon in February if they wanted to. But if they designate him as a post-June 1st hit, they actually will not be able to use that money that they save on him until after June 1st, hence why it is called a post-June 1st transaction. All right, so what's the point? What's the advantage? The advantage is that the Giants can take what money they have now or what they will have once they get done, you know, adjusting contracts and making other cap hits. And they can use that to re-sign Collins. They can use that to add a veteran right tackle. They can use that to add a free safety if one becomes available on the market. All right. Now, once they were to get the credit for Vernon's contract, assuming that he is cut, what's that money for? They can use that money to sign their upcoming draft class. They can also use that money for, you know, free agents on the back end of the process. And it will also serve as money to get them through the rest of the 2019 season for those in-season emergencies that pop up during the season from injuries. So that's how I kind of see that playing out. And again, we'll see if the Giants do keep burning or if they decide to give him a pay cut or, you know, whatever. But I do think, you know, and I hate to say it because, again, I do like the guy, I respect the guy, but I just don't know that he's in the plans next year. All right. Andrew wants to know, until free agency gets closer, I know it can be difficult, but have you started to look at potential free agent targets? And who, if so, who? Andrew, actually, I haven't gotten that far yet. I mean, you mentioned Darrell Williams in your email. Darrell Williams is definitely a guy I would be stunned if the Giants don't make a beeline for him. He is the right tackle currently with the Panthers. I do think that he will be one of the first targets that Dave Gettleman reaches out to. But right now, I just haven't really done that study. I mean, what I'd like to do is I'd like to wait to see who becomes cap casualties, because that can tell you a lot. You know, like for example, you know, there's talk that Sean Lee, the middle linebacker of Dallas, might become available. And that might be a guy I would say, hey, let's take a flyer on him if we can get him, at a reasonable amount. So, yeah, let's table that one until I can get a little deeper into the free agency study. Probably, I think if we revisit that around mid-February, I can probably give you a better answer and a list of maybe five or six guys I would target in free agency. All right, next question comes from, Vin wants to know, he observes that he likes that C.J. Anderson running compliments Todd Gurley's and would love a barreling running back to compliment Saquon. What do you think? Absolutely. Sure. Why not? I mean, you know, it's great that Saquon, you know, was able to be the workhorse this year, but you also want to have him for, you know, 10, you know, or more years if you can, and you don't want to wear him out and put all this tread on his tires, you know, so soon. So yeah, I would be all in favor of them finding a running back who can compliment him, whether that be Wayne Gallman, whether that be, you know, Robert Martin, who's on the practice squad, whether that be, you know, somebody to be determined. So yes, I could absolutely see that being the case. If Giants trade up to 35th overall from 38th, by adding a fourth round pick to the package, is it more cap friendly that way, or do they pay more? If they trade, usually, Rob, if you trade up and you add picks, you're going to pay more. That's the simplest way for me to answer that question. I can't tell you how much because I don't have those numbers in front of me. But, you know, if you're moving up, you're going to pay more. Absolutely. You know, it's like if you move up from number 10 in the draft to number one, the number one pick gets the most amount of money. The number 10th pick gets the 10th most amount of money. And it just works, you know, it just works backwards from there. So so that I hope answers your question. This is a good one from Dorian. Wants to know, what are the areas Shermer needs to improve on going forward? One thing I off the bat, Dorian, that I would like to see Shermer do differently is I'd like to see him get away to use both Beckham and Evan Engram when they are both on the field together. I just felt like it was one or the other, and it was very frustrating because you had two guys who are, you know, immensely talented, and I just don't feel as though, you know, the Giants made as good of use as of all their you know, their pieces, if you will. And I can understand that when you have too many, there's only so many balls to go around, but I just would like to see a little bit more on that. The other thing I will always scream about is I'd like to see balance on offense. I felt there were times last year that Shermer got away from the run too early, and it was very frustrating, even when the offensive line was blocking for the run. And I just felt like, you know, by taking Saquon Barkley's legs out of the equation, it was a mistake. But, you know, they turned it around. They used him more in the second half of the season. They won some games, and it was nice to see. So those are a couple things off the top of my head I would like to see Shermer, you know, work on. Let's see. SK wants to know, Haskins or Kyler? Can't give you an answer. Haven't studied either one of them yet in any kind of detail. Working my way through that, I'll probably be able to give you a better answer as we get a little bit closer to the draft. Probably, you know, figure, let's see, the combine's the end of February, beginning of March. I would say if you hold on to that question, I'll have a better answer for you then once I take the temperature of, you know, where things stand and where they might be headed. Okay, final Twitter question comes from Lori. Wants to know if Odell had any long breakaway runs after 10-yard or so catch as he did before his injury last season. I believe he did, Lori. I'm you know, specifics, nothing jumps, you know, to mind, but let me just look at the stats real quick. I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, of course, the one stat I need isn't on the sheet, so let me double check that. Okay, I have the numbers now in front of me. I'm looking at his long run or his long receptions in the games. He had a 41 yarder against the Bucks. He had a 39 yarder against the Eagles. He had a 44 yarder in the first matchup against Washington, a 51 yarder against Atlanta, 33 yarder for a touchdown against the Panthers, 30 yarder against Houston. So yeah, Laura, he had some long breakaways, you know, but I know where you're going with that question. Actually, there were times when Beckham might've looked a little hesitant, especially early on in the season. That I could understand, you know, coming off of the injury, you know, maybe he was a little, you know, reluctant to take the training wheels off, so to speak. But as he got more comfortable and got his sea legs back underneath him, he was able to go ahead and just, you know, set things, you know, be Odell, do all the things that Odell does. So, all right, thank you for that question, and thanks to everybody for the question. That wraps up our Twitter Tuesday segment. Before I sign off, just want to give you guys a heads up. We will be having some more guests coming on to talk about the college all-star games. I'm going to try and get Emery Hunt on the program again to talk about the Senior Bowl prospects. You heard from Rick Saratella of NFL Draft Bible. He was on the program on Monday. Also coming up, I'm going to have Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. And we're going to do a real fun exercise with the offense and the defense and just breaking down the roster and trying to determine which is the best way to go, whether we go draft or whether we go free agency. So that's all coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. Do stay tuned. I'll let you guys know when those programs are coming. In the meantime, thank you, as always, for your questions. This is Patricia Traynor signing off.